Back chat.
Politics and current affairs.
Back chat.
Woo. Your alternative to talk back.
That's right, indeed. You are listening to Backchat on FBI Radio, your freshest wrap of news and current affairs. I'm Swetha Das.
And I'm Shami Sivasubramanian. This week, with the devastating news of two racially motivated mass shootings in the US, but it wrapped up with the latest abortion decriminalization bill being passed in the New South Wales lower house. From tragedy to celebration, we've got all the news you might not have heard on your airwaves this week.
First up, we're going to hear an interview with Nicola Paris from Counteract about how activists can effectively get their message across to government and those in power.
Then we'll be hearing a story from our very own Backchat reporter, Rhiannon Solomon, about audio captions for the visually impaired on free-to-air television shows and theatre performances.
And as always, we want to hear from you. Text us in on 0409 945 945 or text us on Twitter.
Yes.
Backchat FBI.
We're really young, I promise.
Are we prepared to disrupt things a little bit today in the city of Brisbane?
This week has marked a number of climate protests. We had student walkouts in some of the major cities across Australia, and lobby group Extinction Rebellion hit the main stage with their attention-grabbing demonstrations in Brisbane. As more and more young people engage with activism to have their beliefs heard, have you wondered what your rights are when it comes to law enforcement?
We have all the information you need to know as our producer, Eden Faithful, interviews Nicola Paris from Counteract about what you can do to raise awareness of issues important to you.
Let's have a listen.
Hi, Nicola. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's lovely to be talking to you. So what kind of work do you do at Counteract?
Counteract was started in 2012, and we have been working since then to support communities to work for social, environmental and racial justice, and in particular supporting people to do work for a safer climate. And we work with people and communities across the country, so we're trying to create change and using a variety of means to go about it. Our work is very diverse, so we have collaborated on workshops recently to teach grassroots groups how to do digital storytelling, you know, how to do live tweeting at actions. We teach people about their legal rights. We train people for peaceful protest. We talk to people about digital privacy. We talk about, you know, how to do media releases, how to organise and facilitate meetings well. It's a really a wide variety of skills, but it's with a focus on supporting people who are acting outside traditional political process, so people who are participating in civil resistance work.
There's never really one way to go about protesting, of course. There are a lot of different avenues you can take to get policymakers' attention. But do you have any tips or tricks about how young people can best get their message across?
Sure. So I think it's definitely a tricky question, how to best protest. I would say, for any campaign, you want to start with doing your homework. You want to be very clear on what your issue is, who else is working on the issue, who you might collaborate with, who maybe has tried this one before, which is something that I think is really important, is understanding our social movement history. Then you want to be looking at who has the power, who are the decision makers, how do you influence them, what are the levers and the mechanisms of doing that. So there is always a role for civil resistance or non-violent direct action, but that should come at a time in the campaign when you have done a range of other things as well. So I certainly think that people who advocate protest as the only option are missing that often a lot of work happens before, you know, that phase in a campaign. It's really important to understand that there is strategy when people are talking about nonviolent resistance and civil disobedience. So you want to be very clear that you are a welcoming group, that you are ensuring that marginalised voices are heard, that you're taking leadership from First Nations people, that you are, you know, really looking at the people on the ground and who are impacted. think one great example of some people that are doing great work in the country at the moment is the school students and the climate strikes.
Definitely, and, you know,
they're so inspiring, and I've done some work to support them, and these kids are smart. They know what they're talking about, and they are leading in a way that, you know, the adults in the generation before haven't, and who have failed them, to be honest. So they've taken things into their own hands, and they are fast learners, and I think that they are doing incredibly effective work right now.
So we're going from the school students, who are obviously excellent campaigners, to perhaps another group who have caused a little bit more controversy. Extinction Rebellion, especially this week, has been making headlines when they interrupted traffic across the Brisbane CBD. They've done things like gluing themselves to roads, locking themselves in canoes. Obviously, these are really attention-grabbing tactics. Do you think tactics like this often work when trying to get the attention of politicians or change makers? And would you advocate this sort of protesting and campaigning?
I think there's a time and a place for all kinds of tactics, and attention-grabbing tactics are useful. But I think that is potentially not getting to the heart of what Extinction Rebellion is all about, which is that people are, you know, calling for some fairly simple demands, to be honest. They're very ambitious, but they want people to tell the truth. They want to see, you know, an immediate action that, you know, significantly reduces our fossil fuel usage. And because all traditional mechanisms have failed, they're using civil resistance to do that. Now, people might have, you know, their own views on whether it might be mildly inconvenient to be delayed going to work, but the inconvenience that's going to come with millions of people displaced, you know, in the next couple of decades, we're not talking about a long time away, and I think that is one of the problems, that people think that this is a situation that maybe some other folk can fix. The fixes need to be now, and we've already passed some tipping points. So we need people acting like an emergency, and I think the reason that a lot of people are resonating with Extinction Rebellion, and it's incredibly diverse despite what, you know, some of the media would show you, you know, that they pick and choose and cherry pick images. But, you know, I'm certainly talking to people around the country who come from all different backgrounds, all different ages, different genders, different races, and I think that there is really important lessons to be learned. And for people, I think if people have got questions about that, I just encourage them to dig a little more, try to learn a little bit more about it, and see whether, you know, they think that the current mechanisms of advocating change on climate are currently working. And I'd say most people would be a pretty strong no on that.
So before, you mentioned that you speak about protesters' rights with police and what you can do when law enforcement tries to break up protests or something like that. Would you be able to give us a rundown of what people's rights are when it comes to protesting?
So what's really important is to know your rights in those situations, and certainly in the training that I do and in any work that I would have a role in, I would advocate very strongly that people, you know, don't get into a situation where they're considering arrest without understanding all of their rights. So, you know, legal briefings and understanding this is very important. We've actually got some resources on our Counteract site, so that's counteract.org.au. And the tricky thing for me to speak to in this situation is that there's 8 different legal jurisdictions in Australia. So rights are different state to state. The few basics that I would always say if I was giving a briefing is that you have a right to no comment, and, you know, most lawyers in the country, and certainly any of the activist legal support I know, would really recommend you exercise that right. So say no comment. And you generally don't have to give any other information other than your name and address, or in some states, your date of birth. So that's really important as just a couple of basic things for people to know. You've also, you know, you've got a right to privacy, and you've got a right to, you know, not be held for an unreasonable time in custody. You've generally got a right for a phone call to access a lawyer. That's different state to state. So what I would say is, if you're considering this kind of protest, there are people out there who can help you. There are people that have got advice and certainly I've written a lot of handbooks and research sheets, and in New South Wales, you've got a really great resource in the New South Wales Environment Defenders Office, who have got people who are doing a great work at the moment, providing resources and working on those resources. So get educated, and it's just great generally to know your rights. You know, when we live in a democracy, it's about pushing back and making that political space and asserting our rights. So, you know, that includes more people.
Fantastic. And how can we access your work at Counteract?
Yes, so just have a look at the Counteract website. We're counteract.org.au. We do websites around the country. I'm one of the primary facilitators, and at the moment I'm in WA, but I do travel, and we have got team members in a bunch of different states. So happy for people to get in contact with us, and we also connect up to other people. So if we can't help you or we don't have the capacity to, there's definitely a lot of resources on the website. People can do a bit of DIY learning. And certainly I would encourage people to get involved in groups like Extinction Rebellion, in Stop Adani, in Frontline Action on Coal, in all of these groups that are, you know, that are working on, you know, as one person said in this country, the greatest moral challenge of our time.
Fact Chat.
Text 0409 945 945.
That was Nicola Paris from Counteract talking to our producer, Eden Faithful, about what strategies work and few that don't work when it comes to protesting the government about issues that are important to you.
Stay tuned, because later our very own reporter, Rhiannon Solomon, has a story about the importance of audio captions on free-to-air TV and at the theatre. But before that, we've got a track from Goldlink, the Tyler creator, and Jay Prince, this is You Say.
To show us all what a beep lying, beep backstabbing, beep treacherous, beep beep she is. Thanks, Colin.
Backchat, your alternative to talk back.
Swetha sits at the microphone, poised to speak as she shuffles her notes and cues the upcoming song on the FBI panelling board. She's wearing a tequila-stained neon green jumper, the remnants of last night's clubbing makeup smudged around her eyes.
Okay, why are you calling me out like that? Huh?
Oh, stop. You know I love you, Sweat. I'm just giving our listeners an audio-described performance. Our next story is from Backchat reporter Rhiannon Solomon, and she's going to be discussing the ways in which visually impaired people can access live-to-air TV shows and theatre performances.
Let's check it out.
For most Australians, watching TV is simple. The plot lines are easy to follow when you can see what's happening on your screen. But it's a different story for those who are visually impaired.
I had an experience with my children when they were younger, and as a blind parent, my children are sighted, and I sat through, you know, a number of shows where I just didn't have a clue what was going on, and particularly those shows for younger children where there's often an animal that's the main character, and I often didn't even know what the animal was. So I couldn't even have a sensible conversation with them about it. It really does have an impact. It's a significant problem.
That was Emma Bennison, the CEO of Blind Citizens Australia. Advocacy groups like hers have been fighting for audio description to be available on free-to-air TV for over 20 years. Audio description is a separate track that plays during a film or a TV show, which describes what is happening on screen.
Moonlight glints on a rolling dark ocean. On a deserted street, lights shine from shop windows. A police station sign is bright outside a curved, colonnaded building. A battered message board reads, "Love thy neighbour as thyself." In a dark house, a couple sleep.
For the 400,000 Australians who are blind or have low vision, this service is invaluable.
There are often programs which will commence with really quiet introductions, so there may be no dialogue whatsoever. So as a blind person, when I watch a movie or a television show like that, I can be sitting there for, you know, 5 minutes wondering what on earth is going on, and really the only guide you have is the music or the sound effects.
Earlier this year, a bill was introduced into the Senate calling on broadcasters to provide at least 14 hours of audio described programming on free-to-air TV each week. And now that Parliament's resumed, it'll be voted on for the first time. Senator Jordan Steele-John, who introduced the bill back in February, says the audio description should be up higher on the government's agenda.
Australia is actually the only nation in the OECD that doesn't have audio description. If you think about the amount of information that is imparted through and social experience that is facilitated by the TV or movie medium, the idea that so many blind and visually impaired folks are excluded from that is absolutely outrageous. And it's actually a contravention of the laws that we've signed up to as part of the UN Convention on the Framework Rights of Disabled People. But just like captioning, it can actually be useful for the entirety of the community.
Audio description isn't entirely alien to Australia. It was first trialled on the ABC network back in 2012. But Kevin McAlinden, head of government relations at the ABC, said it didn't really go as planned.
With the first technical trial we did for audio description, there were a lot of technical issues around it because of the different TVs, the different receivers around, and no real technical standards or compliance around those receivers. So we did experience a lot of problems when the ABC did its first technical trial.
Although it got off to a rocky start, audio description was also trialled across iView in 2015-16. According to the final report released at the end of the trial, the technical difficulties had improved. And earlier this year, Vision Australia hosted a live audio description track of ABC comedy program Get Kraken on their nationwide radio station.
Okay, so stand still.
An elderly stockman fiddles with a whip. He unsteadily takes aim at the cigarette with a whip. McLennan scurries over to McCartney, excited.
Hey, do you want me to do it? I've got a little button nose.
But Kevin says it'll be difficult to do this again.
At present, we are working within a fairly tight budget, and also from the 1st of July this year, we will have to manage an additional cut of $84 million over 3 years that the government announced last year. So we really have to reset our priorities as to what we can establish. If we were given discrete funding for audio description, that would be something that we could possibly do.
Despite this, every other English-speaking nation offers audio description on at least some of their programs on free-to-air TV. Sally Orish, the face of the TV for All campaign, says that even in Australia, our shows are often made with this feature.
At the moment, we produce a lot of shows in Australia that are exported overseas. We actually make audio description for those shows as well. Things like Neighbours, that's made in Australia. The only thing is that we just don't air the track on TV. So the audio description's there and ready to go. We just don't have access to it.
Although there's no legal framework regulating audio description, some local organisations provide it. Others have gone further, with Merrigong Theatre Company introducing tactile tours for visually impaired patrons. Jackie Myson from Sydney's Belvoir Street Theatre is looking to implement something similar.
Those audience members accessing the service would be able to come down and feel, have a tactile experience of the set, the costumes. Depending on the particular show as well, they may get a chance to speak to some of the performers also.
Belvoir Theatre also offers audio description services for some of its plays and is hoping to provide more in the future.
It's narrated by professional audio describers. They do it in pairs, so they've come to see the show prior, they've read the script, and then we actually have them set up in a room downstairs and they're watching a live feed of the show. So they're describing, you know, the nuances of the actor's expressions, any set design elements, those kind of things, and reactions that can't be heard.
But due to the nature of live theatre, audio description needs to be done live during the performance, and according to Ashlyn McCarthy, the theatre's marketing director, it can be costly.
If you do something like that once for TV, you can roll it out. Whereas with live theatre, you would actually need to have somebody here
every single time.
Every single time we put on a show.
So why hasn't Australia worked harder to make sure everyone can watch TV? For people like Sally and Emma, they've been left waiting.
We do need to make our politicians understand that we actually do care about making sure that we have equality of access to television.
We describe a lot of things for radio, like sporting events or the fireworks. There are a few options to get audio description, and it is available on some things like certain Netflix shows. It's just not available everywhere.
That was a story from our very own Backchat reporter, Rhiannon Solomon, about how audio captions can better immerse visually impaired people in free-to-air television shows and theatre performances.
Well, that's all the time we've got for today. Another big thanks to our producers, Eden Faithful, Natalie Sekulovska and Pip Leeson. And thanks again to our guest, Nicola Paris, and our reporter, Rhiannon Solomon.
We'll catch you all next week, but before we do, we're going to play a track by Sydney Ban called Frips and Frips.
Yes, this song is hilariously titled Get Your End Wet.
See you all next week.